Call Brad at 218-722-7500 or toll free 800-388-2428. You can also email Brad at brad.bennett@mwcradio.com. And now, sound off. Here's Brad.
All right. Is that better? Okay. Steve, you got to talk real close to the microphone, and you've got his mic on? All right. Steve Fugate, welcome to WDSM Radio.
Thank you so very much, Brad. It is a pleasure to be here and a pleasure to be in Duluth.
Well, we've been mentioning in the first 2 hours that you were going to be with us a little bit, and I told people that they could go to the web, find out what you're about a little bit. But let's talk a little bit about how you and I made contact through our friend Ty Nguyen.
Through Ty. Ty saw me on some broadcast on Fresno, California. And then he and his wife were going to see their daughter at Pomona, California, and they saw me walking down the road, and they said they did a big U-ey and nearly wrecked and everything else to get back to talk to me. Bless their hearts, and what an absolute honor that has been knowing those two. They are just incredible, Ty and Diane.
They are purveyors of love across the world.
Oh my God, there's no doubt about it. They are so into helping veterans and just helping people in general. They're incredible, and they love you to pieces. So.
Well, and the feeling is mutual. Believe me.
Well, they wanted so much for me to come here and meet you and Charlotte. And
now you've been through Duluth one time before.
One time before, but I do not remember which route I took. All I know, I was following Route 2. I got on it in Everett, Washington, and walked it all the way to the Mackinac Bridge in Michigan. But I had two runs in the expressway here at Duluth, so I don't remember what I did to get around it.
Let's talk a little bit about, first of all, how did this start? I think that's a good way to let our listeners know, why would a man walk across America 8 times, 37,000 miles you've put on your legs?
37,000 miles. And I'm in my eighth walk. I've done 7 complete walks. In 1999, my son got a DUI, my 26-year-old son, and he was 4.0 student, high school and college, and he had this devastated him. And anyway, I said, look, don't worry about it. And I came up with the idea of hiking the Appalachian Trail, letting him run the business, take all profit, pay off his restitution, and do his community service and all the things that were humiliating him. And I said, and then you can do the trail. You orchestrate my trip. I had never hiked a day in my life. And so my trail name out there was No Clue. So then he agreed to it, and he had run the business before, but I'd gone halfway on the trail, and things did not work out the way they were supposed to. My son took his own life. He felt that he had failed his father and all kinds of other things, which weren't true. But at any rate, I lost my son, so I went back out 9 months later, and I finished the Appalachian Trail. And while I was out there screaming and crying, I realized that the horror I was going through happened to other parents, other people, and I couldn't handle that. I just decided, and I didn't want any other young person to miss out on loving life. So I came up with the idea of assign love life, because I feel that's the opposite end of the spectrum of life, to where one would get to feel the world would be better off without them. So,
Steve, explain to Kenny and our listening audience what you were explaining to us last night about your concept about when somebody thinks about committing suicide, they don't own their life.
Well, what I say is of course, there's argument with that. Well, of course, you can do whatever you want. You can be miserable all the time if you want. You can be in a bad mood. To me, there's two reasons. A bad mood is selfish. Number one, it restricts the freedom of others while in your presence. Number two, it's more importantly, maybe, it denies others the beauty of who we really are. And so with that in mind, I have told people many times, and it worked, that you do not have the right to take your own life. It does not belong just to you. It belongs to your loved ones, as well. If you are 70 years old and your mama's still alive, you are her baby, whether you like it or not.
That's right.
It's like, you do not have the right to do that to your mama, to your sister. You don't have the right to do that to your friends. They have an investment in you. The greatest investment they have, of course, is love. But there's also time. Many times there's finances. They invest in you because they love you. Suicide is the absolute most difficult form of death for friends to have to handle, because it leaves them with guilt. It leaves them guessing as to why.
Absolutely.
So this is what I tell people.
Well, and you and I had a conversation the first day we met, and I expressed my feeling on it, having lived through combat, having lived through experiences that I know that I've lost good friends at. My feeling was always too many veterans commit suicide, and they should never do that, because the people that died in horrible situations that they may have been in, they would give anything to come back and have one more day on this earth.
Right.
And because of that, you owe their feelings, their experiences, the right to a full life.
I agree. I spoke to all the Army troops from Anchorage to Fairbanks, Alaska. They flew me up there during their suicide prevention month. And so I spoke to them, and that's the message I brought to them. You just don't have the right to take your own life.
Yeah. You were told at the time that you probably wouldn't have much of an audience because it was on Friday and people were getting ready to go on weekend liberty.
Correct.
So they said, well, don't be surprised if you might get 10 people there.
Right. And what I was told, I had already spoken 9 times, you know, between Anchorage and Fairbanks at 3 different bases. And but they said this is traditionally, historically, a slow time slot. It's Friday. They all go out and party, right?
Sure.
Yeah. It's like, and they said a TV star, and excuse, forgive me, I don't know who it was. I don't watch TV. So anyway, I don't have time. So anyway, they said he spoke and only 3 people showed up. Well, when I got there, it was 1,100 capacity, and it was standing room only. They estimated it to be about 1,400, and so that was
so the word had kind of got around.
The word had gotten around, so well, I'm very proud of that.
You know, we're going to open the phone lines. If you're listening this morning and you would like to ask Steve Fugate a question.
Any question.
Any question at all, feel free to call and ask. About his travels, what, you know, the whole concept of loving life. If you want to do that, how he exists on the road, any of that, he's more than willing
anything.
To talk about anything.
Thank you.
Let's talk a little bit. What are some of the more bizarre experiences you have had on the road?
I didn't prepare myself for that. There's been so many. I've had, you know, I don't know. It was just some of the things. Steve, people ask. One guy stopped and asked me what my credit score was. I don't think I have one anymore. I've been doing this for 15 years. I had a blonde, beautiful blonde lady in New Jersey some years ago, the suburbs of New York, you know, there. And she jumped out of her car and had this all black and black feather boa on, and she was yelling, get in my car, we're going to go listen to somebody. And I'm like, I'm not getting in your car. And so I was telling my friend later, and I turned it down 4 times. He said, now let me get this straight. Was she really a gorgeous blonde? I said, just beautiful. And he said, and you turned her down 4 times? And I said, yeah. And he said, you need to come home. We need to talk. So I've had, bizarre things. It's hard to focus on me.
Yeah.
At one time, I've had so many. Most things are not bizarre. Most things are just, there are really cool people out there practicing what I call being normal. And they stop and they give. And the random acts of kindness are so wonderful and beautiful. And people, I get so many arguments on my Facebook. I've got like 13,000 people on there. And they come on and say, no, the world is bad. And I go, what part of 37,000 miles and 8 crossings don't you understand? You can't argue with me. I'm out there. I'm alone. I'm wide open. I'm vulnerable to everything.
Yeah.
And people say things to me like, so what do you do when the police harass you? They don't ask me if the police harass me.
No, and I said, they just assume
yeah,
they do.
I said, the police don't harass me. 95% of the time when they stop, they're stopping out of curiosity.
Or to see if you're okay.
Or to see if I'm okay. That's yeah. the biggest reason.
Yeah.
You know, so, you know, but most people understand.
Steve, we have a caller on the line, Jim from Hermantown, that would like to ask you a question. Jim, are you there?
Hey, how you doing?
Good, good.
Hey, what a kindred spirit. Back in, well, I don't know if you remember, Brad, but you read my book a while back.
Yes.
And I actually hitchhiked, but 75% of it was walking across the United States. So, and I got two sort of curious questions. Well, first I want to make a statement. I think you, what was your name again? I'm sorry?
Steve.
I want to see if you reiterate the idea. I understand why you did what you did, and I totally empathize with everything that you said. I lost my wife at the time, but not by death, but, you know, not a long story. But I think the biggest question I have is, do you have the same feeling that I had as I hitchhiked? It's almost as if, you know, everybody's all worried about their lives. They're worried about their problems. As you obviously had that situation with your son. And when you're out there walking down the street, I remember it vividly of how everything just seemed so much smaller. I mean, I noticed myself looking at a construction crack or something and saying, oh, they messed that up, or seeing a bird or sleeping underneath a bridge, having a raccoon start nibbling my finger because and then scaring the heck out of me. And I had policemen stop just the same, exactly what you just said. One time, a sheriff even took me to the end of the county line so that I wouldn't be in his county in case something bad happened. So do you find, as you're walking down the street, as I did, how wonderful life really is and how easier it is to see the forest for the trees, as some people would say, when you're walking down the street and you're seeing life, it just flashes by everybody, and it's just so difficult, but they forget to notice things that only you or me or someone that was in that kind of a situation walking across the United States, just seeing things from a completely different perspective.
Thank you, Jim. Thank you. Steve?
Absolutely. This is true. When you're out there with it, it's totally different. You know, society is... it's spiraling, and I believe it's spiraling downward.
Yeah.
And it's spiraling because of what you said, Jim. It's like, you know, people don't stop to smell the roses. They don't stop to look. But the difference between you and I is that I have a big old proclamation over my head that says love life. And it attracts people that really, really love life.
Oh, yeah.
So I run into the people that really, really love life. I also run into those that are unable to love life at that time, but they stop and talk to me because they want to know my answer. They
yeah.
want to see what I'm about. So thanks, Jim, and that's cool. Congratulations on your hitchhike walk.
We've got to take a quick break. We're going to be back with Steve Fugit from Love Life. And as he said, he walks around the country with a big billboard over his head that says Love Life. And it makes people stop and ask, hey, what's the deal with this Love Life?
Absolutely.
And that's what you want to accomplish, right?
Right.
All right. We'll be right back. And we are back. Sound off in the morning here on a Tuesday morning in the Northland. We have in the studio with me Steve Fugit, who is the Love Life Walker. Now, I have Jim on the line from Tortoise and the Hare. Tortoise and Hare is a foot store that's one of the sponsors of my program out in West Duluth. Great people. And Steve is a good sportsman. He's been from up in the Ely area. Have you ever heard or seen the story of the Love Life Walker?
Oh boy! Now I'm embarrassed because no.
Well, here's the deal, and I'll just give you a little update, and then we'll talk about the situation. Steve has walked across America. Is walking across now on his eighth time. He has put 37,000 miles walking.
Wow! Oh Holy cow.
Carrying a huge sign. He carries a huge sign that says love life.
All right. I love it.
Now, Steve, you kind of have an ongoing contract for boots, for hiking boots, right?
I wouldn't call it a contract. They just give me boots. It's Danner boots. They make a lot of the military's boots.
Okay.
And I think they've given me like 9 pair, and they were my boot of choice. That's why I approached them.
Now, have people asked you, why do you wear boots as opposed to like a walking shoe, like a sneaker or something?
They get really wet, and you get caught in the rain a lot, and they wear out faster on the bottoms, and they are more comfortable. But you get a real good, comfortable boot. They're hard to beat.
They're hard to beat, yeah. So did you have a good weekend, Jim? Or Steve, Steve. Oh. No, Jim, I'm sorry.
Jim.
I'm confused here. We got 3 people going on the line. You're Jim.
I'm still Jim.
Yes.
And I had a wonderful weekend. And, in fact, I did a ton of hiking with my dogs just to get out in the woods. And
excellent.
And, well, you know, and kind of beat the raindrops, certainly on Saturday and Sunday. And, you know, and it worked. And the day I should be out is today because it's gorgeous.
Oh, it's fantastic. You've got school starting, of course, today. So you've got, I bet you've had families coming in by the droves, getting their kids their school shoes and their athletic shoes and getting ready.
Yeah, it was a busy weekend, busy time, and people who, you know, as we talked about how somebody maybe put off getting things in the spring because of the weather, and, you know, and even summer is a little goofy this year, so they're finally getting their moving their way in here, and it's gotten busy. So,
what do you mean goofy? Have we had summer yet?
Well, we got today.
Well, there you go. Nice.
And you know, but I'm really interested in the Steve who's walking like crazy, and you know, we're certainly, you know, he's perfect. He is a perfect example that you don't have to have sore feet to come in here either, because he's the guy who's walked across America 8 times, and, you know, we take care of people who have good feet, sore backs, bad knees, you name it. We don't diagnose your problems, but we can probably make a diagnosis on what piece of footwear is going to be best for you.
There you go. And the tortoise and the hare, by the way, not only carries footwear for all occasions, they have socks, they have insoles for your boots, all the things that you may need. So, Jim, thank you very much, and I want to invite everybody to stop out at the Tortoise and the Hare on Grand Avenue, 46th Avenue West and Grand Avenue. You will find the Tortoise and the Hare, family-owned foot store, where you've got your son, your wife, your sons, more than one, and your wife in there, and your whole goal is to make people so satisfied with their footwear that they want to come back.
Absolutely. We guarantee it.
All right. Thank you very much, Joe.
Okay. Thanks,
Tortoise and the Hare. Bye. So, Steve, you started walking out of, on your website, I think you call it physical therapy?
Trail therapy.
Trail therapy.
And you know what? The interesting thing about trail therapy, I gave it that name because trail therapy is just like every other trail. It goes both ways. And so that's what's happened in my life. And people will say, newspaper people a lot will say, so has this love of life thing, did it start altering your life and changing your life? And I said, absolutely. I think those letters off the sign dripped down through the top of my head. And it's like, it absolutely changed my life. And that's what I try to convey to everyone is a love life attitude. When I say love life, I'm not talking about a momentary proclamation that you make in that moment to try to make your day better. I'm talking about a way of life. I'm talking about loving life. I'm talking about loving and appreciating this gift of life that we have and taking the utmost advantage of it. And we do that by denying the negatives.
Yeah.
And because what I've done in my mind is I have tattooed in my brain somewhere the absolute fact that negatives are not only stupid, they're immature. Why? Because a negative has never accomplished anything good in the history of humankind. So why do we fool with them? So I bust onto it and I go, I love life. And I get up. I have fallen in love with the act of breathing. And it's like, it's a great love affair. I recommend it to everybody. And it's like, you know, you just got to keep going. I remember Psych 101. It was something like 97-98% they had come up with on this 60-70-year study that 68% of the things we worry about never actually occur.
Yeah.
So why are we fooling with them?
So why are we consuming ourselves with this thought that something negative is going to happen?
Right. So love life. And it's like just you have to force it on yourself. We have society today is we're in a habit of – we think it's okay, you know, to be in a bad mood. And I have interviewers say, come on, Steve, you have to have a bad day. I go, yeah, they last about 3 minutes.
Yeah.
And that's it because there's no sense in it. You know?
Well, you were telling us last night that you've really only had one bad experience, and that was with a drunk, evidently,
that thought
he had to confront you.
And it was my fault. You don't argue with a drunk.
Yeah.
And other than that, in 37,000 miles, I've never had a hair on my head harmed.
Yeah.
And I attribute it to my own attitude.
Except for that one bull moose that wanted to
bull moose wanted me, yeah. I had a couple of those. I've had things like
now,
that.
Now, did you ever have like the last caller was talking about where you had
something
woke up and had somebody nibbling on your finger?
No, I never have, but I sleep in a tent for that very reason.
So that's probably a good idea. Yeah.
Well, one time in Nevada, I decided to sleep out, not in my tent. And I woke up and there was a scorpion on my forehead.
Ooh.
And I bloodied my own nose beating the scorpion off of me. But I had a great thing the next morning. I picked up a rock the next night to help secure my stake in the sand there in the desert. And there was a scorpion under the rock. And I simply dropped the rock back on him. It made me feel really good. So I kind of got even.
But now you were telling us last night, we went out to dinner with some friends and we had just a good time. And you were telling us that you actually were kind of attacked by a bull moose that might have been kind of the rut season or whatever.
Yeah, it was in the rutting season.
And you must have thought you were.
I was only in a tarp. And I said, you know, I was talking to locals later explaining it to them. And they said, well, you know, they're very protective of their territory during mating season, and as if I was some competition or something. I had not been in the woods that long. And then I had a severe storm, and it was so bad. And so I felt the desire to pray, and I prayed, and I said, dear Lord, can you let at least one bolt of lightning find and kill that moose? Because it had scared me so bad. It literally attacked my
Well, you were saying that up in Maine, the moose are much different than around here.
They're much larger.
Big.
They're much larger. I don't know why, but they are. They're much larger. Their racks are much
probably
larger.
Out of Canada, maybe. There's something that are just much bigger. Well, listen, we have to take our bottom of the hour news break. We invite you, though, if you have some questions of Steve Fugit, who is walking across America his eighth time. This is just isn't a Johnny come lately. You've been doing it for what, 11 years?
15 years.
15 years.
Mm-hmm.
37,000 miles. I can't even imagine. I mean, if you're a long distance runner out there and you've ran 26 miles and you think you've accomplished the end of the world, 26 miles? Come on, really? Try 37,000.
And by the way, you can ask me a question on anything. Any of those dynamics, if you will, of the walk, anything, the walk or personal things or things.
Excellent.
You know, love life.
All right. We invite you to call in after the news break here. We'll be back with more on Sound Off in the Morning Tuesday edition. All right, and we are back. Sound Off in the Morning here on 710 WDSM. A good choice of music, Kenny. The Walk of Life by Dire Straits. And that's basically what we're talking about this morning with Steve Fugit, who is the love life man. I refer to you everywhere I go. The girls at the hotel at Super 8, they said, who is this guy? And I said, we refer to him as the love life guy. And so she had to get on the internet, pull up your Facebook right away. She said, oh, look at it. He's here.
Great.
But it really is. That's the story that you are. You're like Johnny Appleseed spreading. But instead of spreading appleseeds across America, you're spreading love.
Great analogy. My creed if you will, is to mend the broken heart while it is yet beating. Now, I don't have anyone else's answer, and I can't change anyone but myself. That is an absolute impossibility. We, of course, can influence others, but we cannot change anyone but ourselves. And so I have this young person in front of me that thinks the world would be better off without them. What I have to give them is gobs and gobs of love. I can't give my love to my two children anymore. I lost both of them, yep. One to suicide and the other to an accidental drug overdose because we're little brothers' suicide. So what I know, though, is that that person in front of me or wherever, all over the world, you have your own answer inside of you somewhere. It's hardwired into you. And what I have is love. And so what I do is I give them that love and to the best of my ability and wait until they are calm enough to find that answer within themselves. But I'm going to keep them alive. I'm going to do whatever I can.
Steve, we got a caller on the line, but before we go to him, have you had situations over the 8 years where you really feel that you've met somebody or been confronted by somebody
it's
that
been
said
15 years?
Yeah, or 15, but yeah. That has said, you know, why should I stay alive? I'm ready
Absolutely.
To end it all. You have.
Absolutely.
Okay.
I have. And I can't specify. I mean, only because I don't remember, because I think it's out of my control. All I can give them is the love. I can't remember specifically what I said to them. I've said whatever was in my heart to keep them alive. And I've never lost anyone yet
that I know of. You were explaining to me as we were away on break that you've even had so far as you've had people come to you and say, we want to do a reality show on your life. We want to put a camera crew with you. We want to follow you across
yeah,
the country.
It was speculation. They didn't say definitely. This was a few years back after a guy did a shorty on me, a documentary, and they were wanting to see if it was possible. And I said, it's not possible because these people – this is the most intimate time of their life.
People that come up to you and say, hey, what's the deal with love life?
You can't capture that on film, nor am I going to let you do it. And then they said, well, what we do is then we start building the show like around you. And I said, there you go. That's wrong. My children would get very mad at me if it became about me. It's not about me. It's about the sign over my head.
What you're doing is you're dealing with your own emotional loss by what you do.
Correct.
It's physical therapy
therapy. You nailed it. Trail therapy.
Yep.
Goes both ways.
We have a caller, Bob from Duluth, that would like to ask a question of you. Bob, go ahead.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
Hi, Bob.
I really don't have a question. I got a little story.
Okay.
I was hitchhiking across the UP of Michigan on Highway 2, and this little old lady, I mean, I'm way out in the boonies, right? She picks me up. And, you know, the tree on the tree and an old Fairlane, you know, it's like a beautiful car. I mean, I wish I had it. But anyway, she pulls in. She's like, we pull into this little town. I don't even know what it was. It was just some little deadbeat town up there, you know?
Yep.
And, I mean, I didn't even know it was a store. And she comes out, and we get, she three on the tree thing, you know, da, 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 and she hands me this bag, and it's a pint of Jim Beam. Right? Yeah, and I'm hitchhiking, you know? And then she, I'm going to get to the other side of town. It's okay. Mm-mm. And she pulls me over. We'll get you here. And she hands me a $5 bill, too. And she says, well, don't, you know, she says, my son used to like to hitchhike all the time, you know, but he died in Vietnam. So she gave me a pint of Jim Beam and a $5 bill, and she says, but just don't fall in the ditch.
There you go.
Drink it all at once.
So that was her way. That was her way, Steve, of relating to somebody that she saw on the side of the road.
Right. Good little
reminded
story.
Reminded her, yeah. Of,
good little story. Thank you.
I've got a question for you, Steve.
Okay.
What do you think your kids would say about you and what you're doing if they were able to talk about their dad?
Would they love it? Would they understand?
Of course they understand it. My daughter orchestrated my trip back to the Appalachian.
No, you've got children that are living.
No.
Okay.
My kids are gone. I've lost my family's gone. But my daughter, before I lost her, she orchestrated my trip back on the Appalachian Trail, my trip across the United States, and my walk around the United States. I lost her 3 weeks before I finished. I was 170 miles away from her. Mm. So what would they say to me? They, I think I saw them one day. It was in Arizona on this walk, and they were the two of them were frolicking in the flowers. They weren't together, but they were both there at the same time. And they went, "Hi, Dad." And I just stood there and sobbed. Now, whether that was a figment of my imagination, but it's my imagination.
Which your mind wanted
and,
to accept
you know, or
them.
Or whatever. Yeah. It doesn't matter to me. But I know that they're very proud of me. They would. I hope that if they were in my presence again, they would say the same things they always did. Like, "Oh, Dad." Or, "He's so stubborn." Or, "He's so," you know. And then nothing would change. But what I would say to them is bury your dad.
Yeah.
Bury your dad.
Instead of burying your kids, yeah.
Yeah, bury your dad.
Because don't
Thank you. Good question.
Don't you think that's what parents always feel, is that they're not supposed to bury their children?
Absolutely not. If you've lost a child and you haven't taken your own life and you're not in an institution, you are doing superb. You can lose your sibling, your parent, your spouse, and those that's horrible. But those three all have the same thing in common. They never came from your womb or from your loins.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
It's a complete
and any difference. Of us that have had kids, we know what you're talking about.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. And one of the things I tell people that have lost their children, get it out of your head right now that you're going to get over it, because you're not. And you're not supposed to. I don't want it, the pain, to go away, because that's my babies. And I want to be reminded of it.
Well,
But I want to take what it teaches me. I want to take, because that pain is energy. That's the energy that I send out to others. And I'm beyond passionate about it. That's not even a good word for it. It's just who I am.
Yeah.
And that's what we should all try to do. I'm thinking you can't tell anyone else what to do. But to try to channel the energy of that grief and send it back outward and away from ourselves.
Steve, explain why you don't want people to walk with you. Because people have come to you, find out you're coming to their town. Well, we're going to get a group of people from the high school, and we're going to raise money for you, and we're going to do this
right.
and that.
Because I guess I look at myself as like a guerrilla warfare guy. It's like it comes to me. I'm out there. I'm really not looking for that kind of thing. I don't ask for money. That's why I don't like them there. And they can be real morons. They walk into the highway. They do all kinds of stuff. I'm very skilled at this. It takes a lot of skills. My listening, all my senses are tuned in to what I do. And they are making noise. And they are doing things. I just don't do it.
How about the people that stop? Do sometimes they pull their car off in the wrong spot or right on the highway?
Know, they do sometimes, but that's their problem. I walk around it. It's like usually they do not. Most of the time, the people that are stopping, by the way, I got to say this. The people in Minnesota have been absolutely phenomenal.
Yeah.
The moment, for one thing, as soon as I hit Minnesota, the food started tasting good again.
Awesome.
He said the first night coming out of southern Minnesota, he had a woman pull over with a styrofoam container with pork, mashed potatoes and gravy and vegetables. I mean, typical Minnesota meal. Yeah. Here, you need something to eat.
I was out of this world. I'm like,
nice.
All right. I was just Western food. I've had it.
Yeah. Listen, we got to take our last break of the morning, but we're going to have more with Steve when we come back after this. We'll be right back. All right, we are back. Sound off in the morning here on a Tuesday morning. Beautiful Tuesday morning for a walk, hey, Steve?
Hey, it's a great day for a walk.
I'm kind of curious. You're out in the elements, the weather, you're dealing with weather. What's some of the most severe or craziest weather you've dealt with, and how did you deal with it?
Severe.
The most severe, I will tell you, he will already tell you, was up by the Moose. He had a lightning storm that turned the whole place white for hours. Lightning strike.
In Vermont, outside of Bennington, and I'm from Florida, so I know about inclement weather. My worst, I think the worst was walking by, I forget the name of the Air Force base. It's in the panhandle of Florida. It's huge, one of the largest. And I was walking by, and I saw the clouds coming in. I'm like, this is not good. It was really bad. But what I had was, it was being narrated. I was walking at the bases. They came over the loudspeakers. I could hear them on the base, and they were going, stay away from windows, and the siren was going on. Tornadoes have touched down on the base, and I'm going, oh, my God. I'm right in the middle of it. There was absolutely nothing I could do, and I had the sirens going on. It was so, the fear factor was even greater because...
Well, what did you do?
Well, I just kept walking. What could I do? There was nowhere
to go. Did you find a ditch to hunker down in?
No, there was two huge chain link fences on each side, no ditches, and it was just coming down in torrents, and it kept telling me to stay in the center of the room, to get under a table, and of course this is all completely impossible, and the sirens are going on and on and on. So pretty interesting. And in Montana, I got caught in a hailstorm. That was just,
I was
going to
ask
horrendous.
You if you've ever been caught in a hailstorm.
It was horrendous, but two young ladies pulled over in their four-wheel drive Toyota and on their way back to school and
said jump in,
and I did, and they had a big bag of Arby's roast beef sandwiches, and the hail destroyed their vehicle.
I can just imagine.
But I was just fine. And it's really funny. I swear this is true. I saw the storm coming in. I said this prayer. I said, dear God, this is a great time for you to prove if that old adage is true. You take care of babies and fools.
And here I am a fool.
Yeah, they stopped. I swear it. It was almost instantaneous. It was really funny.
Now, you were telling us last night that you, when you were, I think in Montana, or was it Idaho? That you had a mountain lion size.
It was
up.
In Utah.
In Utah,
actually.
Okay.
Yeah. And later, one of the natives said, "We don't have mountain lions here." And I said, "You have one.
You have one for sure."
he/she followed me several minutes. I had to hike all night. My water had accidentally spilled out, and I had about 28-30 miles to go the next day. And temps from 103 to 107, and so I had to hike all night.
You had to get some water.
And I was exhausted. I had already walked 14 hours the day before.
And do you think maybe the fact that you didn't stop is probably what kept the mountain lion off you? He was waiting for you to stop. And
I talked to some other experts in Utah, real experts, and they said, of course, there's mountain lion everywhere here. And they explained to me that said if that mountain lion had wanted you, it would have already gotten you. It would have stalked you, and you'd have never known it was there. Yeah. So it was curious the whole time or whatever. Of course, I don't know that. But I've got my 3-inch blade pocket knife open in my pocket, and I'm going to fight. It's like she probably never would have felt it, but I was going to fight.
Steve, we have another sponsor that we have to spend a couple of moments with, but you will love this lady.
Okay.
This lady, her name is Lady O'Collett.
Okay.
She has a general store. It's called an Emporium, located downtown here, where she sells all kinds of nice, wonderful things to make your life easy. Nice listening music, wonderful soaps, aromatherapy, and she does palm readings and hand readings, tarot card readings.
Cool.
And she talks to people. And she says many, many times people will come in, they just want to talk.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because nobody will talk to them.
Absolutely.
Lady O, I want you to meet Steve Fugit, who is walking across America for his 8th time. He's put 37,000 miles on his legs.
Oh, how are you, darling? I am doing
wonderful, darling. I am doing absolutely fantastic, and thanks for calling me darling. It makes me feel at home. I miss the South.
Do you now? I kind of thought maybe you did. Well, it's the next best thing to biscuits and gravy, isn't it?
Absolutely, or gator tail and swamp cabbage.
I like this guy. You know how to live off the land.
I guess I do. Okay.
And Lady O, the reason I have him in here this morning is because he is what is known as the Love Life guy. If you've ever seen it, he walks across America carrying a big sign that says Love Life.
I love that. And you know what? He sounds content. And Steve, you sound like you know your center. And a lot of people, they think that loving life means collecting more crap in their lives and not even having any kind of control inside of themselves. And you sound
very well said. Very well
you
said.
You sound centered and at peace, and the real true things of value you get. And that is amazing and wonderful. That's a rich life.
Thank you.
Steve.
It is rich.
Well, back to his beginnings, Lady O, he had a son commit suicide because he had gotten a DUI ticket, and he thought he'd let his dad down, and he thought his whole life was ending.
Oh,
and
dear. Yeah, so when Steve, we're young, we just don't realize. No. We don't realize what we're doing.
Well,
and
it caused his sister to... I lost his sister to an accidental drug overdose because she never recovered from the loss.
You know, that's really common, too, Steve. I actually read a lady that has one of those twofers as well.
Uh-huh.
It's just, and it can be systemic.
Absolutely.
One domino goes down and another domino goes, and you have to, you know, one of the best things I tell my clients is get out into nature. Look at what the world really is, not what they're trying to tell us it is. It's the animals and the smell of the air and the pine trees and the feel of the pavement beneath your feet. And
it is.
It's all
and,
of
know,
those things.
I call it my trail therapy. And I say that Dr. Mother Nature is in residence.
Oh, you are in the zone. I love this guy. This is a guy after my own heart. This is,
well,
you know,
Lady O, we
I
don't have.
He helps other people, too.
Oh, he does, yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Well,
that's
just,
why he does it.
Hey, I wish he was here on Friday. I'd feed him and give him some pomegranate.
I love pomegranates.
Well, listen, we'll tell everybody more tomorrow. In fact, maybe we can touch bases with you again, Lady O, because we're running out of time.
Nice
and I just want
to...
Yes.
Okay, pleasure meeting you, Lady O.
And I just want to let all our listeners know, if you want to follow Steve's travels, you can go on to Facebook, or you can just put in your computer drive, just Love Life, and Steve Fugate will come up, F-U-G-A-T-E, and then you can kind of follow what's going on there.
Yeah.
But we appreciate you stopping in this morning, Steve.
LoveLifeWalk.com.
Okay, there you go. We'll be back tomorrow morning right here on Sound Off in the Morning.
Get ready for a 10-ton wrecking ball of honesty.
Yes, don't panic, my friends. I am here.
Rush Limbaugh on 710 WDSM, Superior.